Blog Talk Radio.
Namaste and blessings. Welcome to Meditative Living with Swami Sivananda Giri. The Swami welcomes you with great love and great respect from the heart of all. Om Namo Narayana. The Swami brings you the blessings, the teachings, and the Shakti of His Holiness, Mahamandaleshwar Paramahamsa Swarupananda Vishwaguru Maharaj Swami of Los Angeles, California, who in 2007 became the very first white-skinned, American-born human being invited into the rank of the Mahamandaleshwar. These beings have the dharma, the duty of the defense and dissemination of Sanatana Dharma on this particular planet. Sanatana Dharma, which a good English translation for that would be the eternal natural way, is more commonly referred to as Hinduism, but the actual term is Sanatana Dharma. If you've been tuned in to Meditative Living the past few weeks, you know this Swami has been sharing the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri. Bhagwan Nityananda is a very, very important member of this Swami's lineage. He left the body in 1961 and passed his successorship down to Swami Baba Muktananda, who traveled the world three times giving Shaktipat, which this was something very different. This wasn't something that was even known about in the West at that time. This Swami's guru was a disciple of, is a disciple of, Swami Baba Muktananda. And one of the, a number of interesting things exist about Bhagwan Nityananda. One is that he rarely spoke. He was not the type of guru or teacher who would give long discourses on various subjects. He just sat quietly and simply radiated bliss. He is very, very well known for people receiving healings in his presence. People would come to him for blessings, for numerous things. Well, this book, the Chittakasha Gita, was compiled by a group of disciples who, over a period of, I believe it was 7 years, noted down when Nityananda would say something, they would write it down. And the book itself is mostly attributed to one of his female disciples named Tulsi Amma. And she's the one credited with putting together the verses of the Chittakasha Gita. Today, we take off with verse 86. Nityananda said, "The repetition of Rama is true delight. It is the eternal Atma delight. Eternal true delight, internal Atma delight, Kundalini grandeur delight. The Lord of mind is Rama. Rama means Atman, that which governs the 10 indriyas is Rama. Ravana means all the wicked qualities in us. Sita means chitta. Lakshmana means attention or thought control. Krishna means introspection. This introspection is the eternal Atma delight." Acharya Kedar's commentary on this verse. The deities we read about and experience in the epics and scriptures of our tradition are all representations of God and his many aspects. For example, Lord Rama was an incarnation of Vishnu. He is also another form of the formless Atman, the inner self. As such, he became a great saint. Even now, repeating his name brings pure delight in the self. Rama became one with Shiva, one with divine consciousness. Therefore, he is that one who governs the powers or energies behind the senses that are the seat of the senses. The demon Ravana, who was slain by Lord Rama, this demon represents all the wicked qualities and limiting tendencies in each of us. Ravana represents that which each of us needs to rise above. Sita, the wife of Lord Rama, who was kidnapped by Ravana, represents Chitta, the mind. And the kidnapping of Sita, or mind, by the demon Ravana is symbolic of how the mind is kidnapped by poor and evil thinking. Lakshmana symbolizes awareness and the ability to focus the mind to cause it to remember God. He represents that power. And Lord Krishna represents meditation on God. Each of these saints whose lives are documented in the great epic Ramayana is but an aspect of divine consciousness. These saints can also be meditated on to experience the self. Verse 87, Nityananda said, "All are men. There is no incarnation higher than man. Man is the greatest of animals. But those are the best of men who ponder over the subtle." Acharya Kedar's commentary. There is no incarnation greater than that of a human being. Only through a human body can one become liberated. This makes human beings the greatest of the animals. The best of human beings are those disciples whose aim is to fully realize God. Verse 88, Nityananda said, "Ekadashi means the worship of the One. To such a man, every day is Ekadashi. Those are called men who have such an Ekadashi. A man should think very little about the gross. He should spend much of his time in meditation on the subtle." Acharya Kedar's commentary. Ekadashi means first or the number one, but for a yogi, it means worship of the one God by remaining absorbed in God within themselves. To one who experiences the constant, uninterrupted rapture of Shiva, worship of God happens every moment of every day. A person should spend little time involved in the mundane activities of the world, just enough to attend to their duties. And they should spend much of their time meditation and spiritual practice. Verse 89, Nityananda said, "A man becomes desireless when he sees a dead body burning. This desirelessness is temporary. This is the secret of the body. Desirelessness imparted by a guru should not be abandoned. From desirelessness, a man obtains liberation from bondage. This desirelessness is the best. Guru is secondary. The desire that a man be initiated is of the third class. Getting a guru is of the second class. By practice, getting experience for oneself is the real desirelessness, which is the goal of human life. When one practices and imparts his knowledge to another, it is Yogananda desirelessness. It is the imperishable and the indivisible state. It is the tree of peace. The climbing of the tree of peace, which is in the head, And being one with that peace tree is the real, imperishable desirelessness. The cutting of the primary root of passion and anger is the imperishable desirelessness. Being in samsara, enjoying a little of its pleasures and then renouncing it, is the second desirelessness. Desirelessness is liberation from bondage in this very life. Acharya Kedar's commentary. When you see a dead body burning, you know, being cremated or buried, you realize how transient life is and how limited the body is. You are reminded that you too will pass one day. But the realization is temporary because out of fear of your own death, you begin clinging to life again by pursuing your attachment to desire and craving for people, places, and things. True desirelessness is not the fear of whether or not you will go to heaven when you die. True desirelessness is freedom from the limiting desire for people, places, and things. You can only gain this true desirelessness from following the instructions of a guru. This desirelessness should never be abandoned. Through spiritual practice, as instructed by the guru, one is freed from attachment to the body, the ego, and the senses. In this way, one is freed of desire for anything other than union with God. This state of desirelessness, the absence of limited desire, known as karma, is the supreme state of liberation. Liberation from limited desire is the goal of all sadhana. Sadhana means spiritual practice. It is the best state and is the primary goal of all spiritual practices. The physical relationship with the guru is designed to foster this state, and therefore that relationship is not the final attainment. The final attainment is union with that which is desireless. This is primary. The experience of eternal peace is had through the union of Shakti with Shiva in the Sahasrara, the crown chakra, when, through the grace of a Siddha Guru and daily spiritual practice, the yogi experiences this union, this is the state known as desirelessness. The nectar of peace flows from this state and is like a tree with its roots in God. To experience this peace tree, one must cut away the root of ignorance, which is anger and passion. To experience the samsara that is this world while remaining detached from it, to renounce the ego while leading one's life, is the stage that leads one to the ultimate realization of God and liberation from bondage. 90. Nityananda said, those who have no faith have no desirelessness. Similarly, those who have annihilated the manas, the mind, have no vasanas. So also, those who have no faith do not reap any fruit. We buy a diamond for 5 or 6,000 rupees. This is all rental delusion. If we have no mind to buy a diamond, its value is nothing more than that of a lump of dirt. Acharya Kedar's commentary. Faith in God, faith in Shiva Shakti, this God principle within us, is the most important ingredient for a seeker. Without faith, you can't reach the desireless state. And if you can't reach the desireless state, your karmas will never be destroyed. Those who have merged the mind in Shiva through meditation have no more latent tendencies or impressions. Their samskaras are burned in the fire of yoga. This is the fruit that must be reaped. But it cannot be harvested without faith. In this world appearance, objects only have the value that we give them. The fact that a diamond has a value of 5 or 6,000 rupees is really an illusion created by buyers and sellers. These things only have the power and value that we give them. We project that power onto them. The real power and value exists inside our own being in the form of that supreme consciousness that is reflected in the diamond and all other objects around us. The purpose of yoga is to learn to go to that source inside all the time, rather than getting caught up in the reflections of that source on the outside. Verse 91, Nityananda said, elements are not 5, but 4, earth, water, fire, and air. Space is no element. It is one, indivisible. The earth is extended. Air is above water. Space is above air. The sea is the boundary. The earth is the bed. Space is the house. The air is above. The earth is below. The earth is red. The air is white. The earth, made of 4 elements, is not round. It is triangular. Between the lunar nerve and the solar nerve is Sushumna. The earth is like our face. Whew, this is where we have Acharya Kedar step in and give us some commentary to help us understand what Nityananda just said. Everything in this world is contained inside the body of Supreme Consciousness, and that body of Supreme Consciousness is also contained inside a human being. The elements of earth, water, and fire are also contained in our being in the form of nadis, or subtle energy channels. Earth itself appears inside as Shiva Shakti Trikona and is comprised of the 3 main channels or nadis known as Ida, Pingala, and Sushumna. These 3 subtle nerves also form the 3 points of a triangle known as the triadic heart of Shiva. This earth is like our face. Air or space is contained in the Sahasrara, representing the formless absolute. Verse 92, Nityananda said, Vayu, or air, is imperishable. It is one, indivisible. It exists in everything. When the glass chimney of a lamp is shut, there is no light. When it is not shut, the lamp shines brightly. If we take earth and imagine it to be sugar, it is sugar only in thought. The nature of earth is not changed. So also, even if a man becomes a yogi or a jnani, the nature of the body does not leave him. Manas, or mind, becomes one with Brahman, not the body. Jnanis are subject to the limitations of the body. Since their mind is annihilated, they are not aware of their bodily condition. A man in sleep, if bitten by a cobra, is not aware of the cobra bite, and he is not affected by it. Similarly, jnanis are not aware of their body, and hence the bodily conditions do not affect them. When a letter written in English or in any tongue is given to a child of 5 or 6 months old, the child throws away the letter, and it cannot know what is contained in it. A child of 6 months old does not at all know the difference between a diamond and a lump of earth. Such children have no idea of the body. They are always in the thought of the Atma. Children have no idea of duality. When their brains develop, they become aware of differences. When the brain is not developed, prana in such a child is in the Sushumna. Acharya Kedar's commentary. Vayu, the air we breathe, is imperishable. It is that which sustains the earth, and it is one with Brahman. Air exists in everything. Even a flame cannot burn without Vayu. The essence of this earth is Vayu. Just as imagining this world to be sugar does not change the fact that it is the earth, imagining the earth to be something other than the life breath of God does not change its essence as God. The perception that this world is something other than God only exists in our thoughts, not in reality. This earth is a limitation in Shiva's Maya, Maya meaning illusion. Its nature remains the same, in the same way a siddha, a jnani, who is a perfected being, is still bound by the body and the laws of nature. However, a siddha's mind has merged in Brahman, in the absolute, in Shiva. For this reason, a perfected being no longer identifies with the body, and his or her exalted state is no longer affected by what the body undergoes. Just as a person in deep sleep can be bitten by a cobra and not be aware of it, the jnani's awareness is firmly established in Shiva, and that awareness is never changed or diminished by the fluctuations of the body nor the passing of time. Just as a young child cannot read a letter and sees no value in doing so, a child of 5 or 6 months old is not concerned with this mundane world nor its activities. At this age, the child's consciousness is still rooted in God. Children of 5 or 6 months old have made no distinctions between objects. and have no awareness of their own bodies. They are completely absorbed in Shiva consciousness and have no notion of duality. Until children are engaged in developing their brains with the mundane knowledge of this world appearance, they have no sense of separateness, no sense of difference, and no idea of duality. Before the learning of empirical knowledge, prana in such a child is still centered in the sushumna. A siddha's state is just like that of such a child. Stick around. We're going to take a little musical break, and we will be right back to continue the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda on meditative living. Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri. On to verse 93. Here in at this portion of the show is where we would generally get a Sonic question of the week, but Sonic is on a trip to Glasgow, Scotland, so he is not with us today. Verse 93. Nityananda said, As the child is growing, month by month, it gets knowledge of various things. Earlier knowledge is of no use. When a man is in the know of all, he must be like a child. A true Gyani is just like a child of 6 months. Such a child is not conscious of its own calls of nature. It does not distinguish between the two calls of nature. Gyanis are similar. They do not like one thing and dislike the other. They have no idea of poison. The administrator of poison should think about it. The eater never cares for it. Likewise, a Gyani does not say, "I want dinner. I want that." They are always well established in the internal Atman. Acharya Kedar's commentary. A child grows up, as a child grows up, his or her pure perceiving awareness becomes clouded with empirical knowledge of mundane things. As a child matures into adulthood, she comes to believe that her earlier experience of the absolute is of no use in the pursuit of worldly pleasures, and she begins to abandon her true nature. A smart person, that person who knows all that is worth knowing, is the one who becomes like a child again by embracing the fact that God exists in everything and everyone everywhere. A true Gyani is like a child of 6 months who is not conscious of differences and duality. These siddhas are like young children. They see all as the same one God and accept whatever comes to them unsought. Being well established in the Atman, Gyanis do not chase after sense pleasures and worldly pleasures. They have no craving for these, having eliminated all craving in the fire of their spiritual practice. Because this is the case, they are able to transmute the poison of difficulty, the poison of pain and pleasure, into divine consciousness itself. Such is their perfect equipoise. The person seeking to harm or embarrass such a Gyani should think about this. Stepping aside from the text for a moment, there are numerous stories of people who sought to do harm to enlightened, liberated humans by slipping them poison, doing things that would be hurtful to the bodies. And in these stories, each and every time, the master, the siddha, experiences nothing but the one who slipped them the poison or sought to injure their body suffers the pain within themselves of what they have done. This is why Acharya Kedar says, the person seeking to harm or embarrass such a Gyani should think about this. Because whatever it is they're going to try to do to one who has reached this state is going to come back on them immediately. Verse 94, Nityananda said, our head is like a coconut fruit. In the coconut, there is water and kernel. Likewise, there is water and kernel in our head. In the head is Chittakasha. It is the well of Hridayakash. We should draw water from this well and drink it. It is no use digging a well in the earth and drinking water from it. Odd instructions there. Thankfully, Acharya Kedar comes to the rescue with the commentary. The head is like a coconut fruit. There is a delicious nectar and a center located in the head. Chittakasha, the inner expanse of divine consciousness, is located in the head. Chittakasha is the very heart of Lord Shiva. It is the well of one's being. Drinking the water from the well of ignorance, that is the mundane knowledge and experience of this world appearance, is useless. Draw water from the well of God inside yourself and drink that water. It is the only reality. Verse 95, Nityananda said, "You have a certain thing in your hand. If you look for it somewhere else, you will not find it. If you sit in an upper story, light a lamp there, and close the doors, those who are below cannot see the light. See the bioscope, see the drama. All these are seen in the head. Everything should be seen from the same place. You need not go to several places to see several things. The city of Madras can be seen from there as well as from here. It is better to see it from one place. We must idealize it in our brain. What we call the heart is not below. It is above the neck. When we are cooking, the flames go upwards. So is the heart upwards. There is light in the heart. There is no darkness in it. If a man's head be struck off, we cannot say who the man is by simply looking at his trunk. It is the heart which sees through the eye. A man must have the internal eye. What is called the heart space is the face, which is triangular. We can know a certain man by looking at his face. A man must know his own secret. A man must know himself." Acharya Kedar's commentary. Whatever you hold in your hand will be found in your hand. If you hold an object in your hand, everyone understands the foolishness of then looking for it somewhere else because it's right there in your hand. The drama of life and the contradiction of our existence is that we go looking outside for what we already have within ourselves. All of the joy and happiness we seek through the body and the senses is really already contained in the Sahasrara inside the head. Yet, we close the doors on this upper story of our existence and conceal it from even ourselves. Paradox of life. Instead, we should merge with our natural, free state of being inside and have the outlook of Shiva. Everything should be seen from the perspective of the divine Shiva. All that there is to be experienced in this world can be experienced by going inside. You need not go elsewhere. Even a city like Madras can be seen with the inner eye of knowledge without physically traveling there. It is best to see all things from God's perspective inside our own being. This equality consciousness must be our only ideal. What is known as the heart is really the Sahasrara at the top of the head. There is a great light in this spiritual center. It is the place where Shiva dwells. There is no darkness there. If you decapitate a person without the head, that person is unrecognizable. In the same way, without the supreme sub, without Spanda Shakti, this world does not exist and cannot be known or experienced. It is God who sees through the eyes and experiences through the body and the senses. This is the secret that everyone must realize in that dwelling place of Shiva Shakti in the head. There is a triangle. It is Shiva Shakti Nara. This is the face of God, our face. A person must come to know this. A person must know the self. Verse 96. Mukti, this means freedom, is according to the nature of our bhakti. The bhakti means devotion. If you try hard, you get good salary. If you try a little, you get a small salary. Yananda said. Acharya Kedar's commentary, just as earning a good salary requires expertise and effort, liberation from the bondage of ignorance requires bhakti, devotion, and discipline in practice. If your devotion for the Master and God is weak, if your devotion and love for the practices instructed by your guru is weak, you cannot attain liberation, and your experience of God will be unsteady. Complete bhakti, perfect surrender, is the key to liberation. Verse 97, Nityananda said, when we are little children, we do not know who is our father and who is our mother. When we grow up, we come to know our parentage. When a cock eats, it scratches everything towards it with its feet. Similarly, when a man's intellect is developed, he becomes selfish. Every day, men die. Every day, men are born. But rarely do they burn their selfishness. Selfishness completely disappears when the divisible becomes one with the indivisible. From rice, various kinds of edibles, such as ambada and halva, are prepared. These preparations are not called rice. Acharya Kedar's commentary. As young children, when we are only 5 or 6 months old, we have no sense of difference. We experience all as the same, and we have not yet learned the distinction represented by the labels mother and father. At this age, we are in awe of everything and everyone. And it is a state of pure wonder that is our natural, free state of being. Then, as we grow older, we become like the cock that grabs for everything, scratching after objects as if mad. As we develop in the ways of the world, we become selfish. This is due to the limitation of an intellect that believes it must possess objects. People are born and die every day. By observing this, we know that what can be possessed in this world cannot be taken with us. Nor are we born bringing objects into this world with us. Yet we remain obstinate, refusing to surrender our selfishness. This selfishness disappears when we merge our individual consciousness into divine consciousness. When the ego and the intellect is purified in this way, we realize that God alone is. Just as rice that is fashioned into a halva and ambada or other dishes remains essentially rice, we have to recognize that although we call a person by a name and we differentiate a building from its owner, all these are still that one indivisible Lord. Verse 98. Nityananda said, "A vessel without water is of no use. Bhakti is water. Intelligence, or buddhi, is the vessel. He who has no subtle bhakti is no man. It is not the work of Shakti when a man dances a dance. This dance is a trick. Trickery's course is downwards. Shakti follows a middle course. Trickery belongs to the body. Shakti is atmaic. Trickery is powerless before the fire of Shakti." Acharya Kedar's commentary. A water pot is of no use unless it is used to collect water. In the same way, individual intelligence, or buddhi, is of no use unless it is absorbed in love and devotion for God. Since a person only acquires real intelligence by merging her buddhi into God, attachment to sense pleasures and pain is not the work of Spanda Shakti. This attachment is due to the free will of the individual. It is illusion, a trick born of wrong understanding. This illusion, known as Maya, has one purpose: to keep a person bound to ignorance and focused outside. This is known as the downward path. Shakti follows the middle course, known as the central nerve, or sushumna. Trickery belongs to the body. Spanda Shakti is of Shiva. She is divine consciousness. The illusion of this world appearance is powerless when deposited in the fire of Shakti inside. The purpose of meditation and spiritual practice is to burn this illusion in the fire of Kundalini Shakti. Verse 99, Nityananda said, "Almost all fruits have their seed inside, but cashew apple has its seed outside. Our mind, like the seed of cashew apple, must be outside samsara. One must not reserve sugar for himself and distribute sand to others. One following the royal road should not lead others to the path covered with forests. It is one's bound duty to lead others by the royal road. We must do this at once. We are not sure about the future. Acharya Kedar's commentary. The seed of most fruits is contained inside the fruit itself. But cashew apple has its seed outside. Like the seed of the cashew apple, we must bring our minds to rest outside the ocean of worldliness, also known as samsara. For the yogi, it is important to learn how to be in this world without being of this world. Purpose of taking a guru and doing spiritual practice. Once liberated, a yogi must not keep her knowledge secret from others. Once perfected in yoga and established in the state of pranaham vimarsha, one must teach others and should not lead others astray. It is the duty of the enlightened to lead others to God. This duty must be embraced and carried out at once, since the future is uncertain at best. Verse 100, Nityananda said, when a train leaves a station, the next station is alerted that a train is approaching by the sound of bells ringing. What is called bindu nada is the bell. Just as we hear a sound when we throw a stone into a well, we hear bindu nada inside the head. Acharya Kedar's commentary. The primordial being that is Shiva Shakti makes a sound. Just as you know a train is approaching by its sound and the alert you get from bells in the station, as you direct prana to rise inside the Sushumna, you are alerted to the approach to Sahasrara by Bindu Nada, a multiple vibration that can be heard only inside the head. Just as you know that a stone has fallen into a well by the sound it makes, you know that your consciousness is becoming absorbed in the Atman when you hear the Bindu Nada vibrating inside your head. This sound emanates from Shiva's light and therefore can be called Bindu Nada, or point of sound emanating from light. It is the signal that Prana Shakti is entering the Sahasrara. Thank you so very much, whether you're listening live or in the archive. Sadgurunath Maharaj Ki Jai. All glory to the one who showed this Swami the truth. Namaste. We will see you next week. Radare